At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Take a Man podcast. That's Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman. And the offense not having the best training camp so far, Logan. We did talk last time about why some of that tends to happen across the league early on in camp. Defenses get installed at a faster rate. Some of the stuff that defenses install early requires more specific game plan or even just specific base levels to be able to compete against at a high level. And that's later in the offensive install. But I think one of the things that's been interesting so far that you and I have been talking about is you've been keeping me abreast of what's going on and also following along, you know, all the reporters and everybody that's out there is the defense is playing a ton of man coverage and the offense is specifically struggling with that. And I think that's really interesting because I expect to see that. And, you know, Terry, part of this aside for a second, I expect to see that a lot this year. Because of some of the numbers that we saw last year, and I can get into those in a second, but just observationally, like, what do you see of this kind of in the passing game offense defense matchup and why the defense has seemingly found more success, assuming you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, first off, I think the defense is doing a great job. I think, you know, we've talked about,
and that's part of it too, right? Like our guys just in phase all the time doing a great job.
Yeah. Will Harris, like Trey Amos today had a great PBU. You see his experience, you see his length. So I want to make sure that we're giving those guys credit, but I will say, like, you know, one of the things that this offense did so well last year is they did a really good job of isolating matchups versus man to man coverage and basically taking advantage of that. Right. So like one of the statistics that come to mind for me is like last year, they were fourth or third in explosive plays over 50 yards. So if you think about those and you sort those and you watch them, it's like explosive play to Diami on a go, right? Explosive play to Terry on a go. There's OZ behind the defense on a go, right? And they did a great job of cultivating that. And Jaden Daniels, like one of his superpowers, is throwing one of the best kind of, you know, box fade, deep ball, go kind of high trajectory balls that you can that I've ever seen, right? So what I would say is that like now that the defensive coverage is getting better and those opportunities are becoming lower percentage, the offensive efficiency seems to be decreasing. So that's what I'm kind of being aware of when I watch practice. It's like, oh, it's single high. They're getting press man on the single receiver side. This is where the ball traditionally has gone. This is where the ball is going. And the coverage is better. The receivers, I will say this, also looked a little bit tired today, you know, because like when you think about it, Noah Brown gets two vet days early in camp. Terry's not here. You're down bodies. So guys are taking a lot of volume in terms of reps. So they looked a little, at times they look a little bit sluggish. And the defense, I will say this also, that the referees are letting them get away with a lot of tugs and pulls and grabs, which I like in training camp. Let's get used to that now. But again, that was something that was a very high completion percentage for this team last year. And now it feels like it's kind of normalized a little bit. And when it's normalized, it goes from, let's say, 55% to 35%. That's going to feel very distinctly different when it comes to offensive football. So there's that element of it. And then there's also the element of the line play, which we'll talk about here more in a second.
Yeah. I mean, the referee stuff is always something that I try to remind myself of in training camp, where it's like, man, defense is dominant. Then you get out there in the first preseason game and there's 78 flags on the defense. And you're like, oh, maybe that's why the defense was so good in training camp.
They have been calling like DPI and they have been calling stuff. But so, for example, there was a play today where, I forget who it was. I think it was Mike Sandrastill on number 19. And
Chris Moore, yeah.
Yeah. So, and basically, like, Sandrastill's in good coverage. There's a little tug, but I didn't think it was anything crazy. Ball is a little bit high and outside. I felt like Sandrastill did a good job widening, so the window is really small for Jaden to throw it into. And Moore looks to the referee. He's like, man, you're not going to call that hold? And Sandrastill looks at him and says, like, don't look at the referee. Like, you got to win that route. And so, like, later in practice, there's a holding call that's called on Carlin Vigors, who I think had a decent day today, but like gets a holding call. So they are calling stuff. It's just, I think that the getting used to what is going to be called and what's not going to be called is also part of this process, right? And so I would always rather err if the DB's playing with good technique, which I felt like Mikey was in this situation. Marshawn Lattimore had one later, which again, I felt like it was good. Like there was a competitive amount of contact, nothing too crazy, nothing too light. It was kind of in that Goldilocks zone. Like, let the boys play, right? That's what I'm, because he's using good technique. The receiver's using good technique. Let's see if we can complete this football, make this happen. And so that's where I'd say, like, they are calling stuff. Like, I think it was 2 days ago, there was a bunch of DPI, right? Like, Tyler Owens had a couple. Like, Carlin Vickers had one. Like, there was a bunch. But today, I thought pretty clean. So I think it's an evolution by the defense. And it's just the offense just a little bit off. And again, like, these pass plays that they're trying to complete are traditionally lower percentage anyway, right? So I think that's all those things kind of factor into what's happening.
Yeah, so let's dive deeper into that, because I think some of this is like, okay, I've seen a lot of like great ball by Jaden dropped by Chris Moore. Okay, yeah, well, if that becomes Terry, or I mean, not a ton, but like I shouldn't single out Chris Moore. It dropped by insert receiver here, right? And so if that's happening and that receiver in a game rep is going to be Terry, well, then we're talking about it, that percentage. Maybe it normalizes, but it's to 45% because Terry's really good at contested catches compared to all these other guys. So that is definitely part of it. I think the other question I would have is, if teams are going to play more man coverage, is that a suitable answer to just say like, all right, we're going 3-by-1. If it's man coverage, we're going to the one side and we're throwing a go ball? Or are there, do we trust that Cliff Kingsbury will evolve the offense and have more answers? Because I do feel like he was very, like that was, I think, a criticism of him in Arizona, was like, it was kind of similar stuff and teams figured it out. And I feel like last year, you know, there was talk in the middle of the season of the Cliff, and then they just went on absolute tear in December and January and were awesome, and he changed and tweaked some things and figured some things out. So how confident are we that there are more answers in the bag, especially in year two of this offense with a chance for it to evolve in year two of the Cliff Daniels partner, the Kingsbury Daniels partnership?
Yeah, so I think that's a great point, and something we kind of touched on in terms of like, you know, you don't change your offensive install, you don't like match the defense, you don't game plan the defense, which I think is maybe the more important thing here, right? Is like, I've seen Cliff and the offensive staff come up with great game plans, great play design, really putting people in blenders, putting them in binds, understanding where the protection should go. And that's another element we really need to double click on here. But like, you don't rep it. So like, if day one install, and we're on day six, but like, if our base install is that, hey, we're going to signal a fade and you're going to throw a fade here, that's our base install. Like, we're not going to change that, like, just because the defense is winning the day, quote unquote. Like, we're going to run it, like, because that's what we're going to do. And then when we get into more, you know, more game plan specific stuff, we're playing the New York Giants, we understand what kind of coverage structures they're going to be in, then we're going to say, hey, no, maybe we want a slant backside, or maybe we want to check to a different protection, or maybe, and you kind of layer it on because you understand the matchups better, you understand how they play their coverages better, you understand things that you've shown on tape, and you can like layer plays a little bit more. So I'm not that worried about it, like, long term, because I think Cliff is a great offensive mind. I think the staff that he's assembled, Tavita, Blau, like, those guys are super smart. Johnson's, like, they're all smart dudes. They're going to figure it out. But as of right now, like, if the offense looks like it's struggling, it's just because they're engaging in what I would consider lower percentage opportunities.
So last year, Daniels completed 74% of his passes against zone coverage, the fourth highest rate in the NFL, but 8 touchdowns, 7 picks. Man coverage, far less percentage, you know, high percentage on the throws, 57% to 74%, but 17 touchdowns to 2 picks. So the high risk, high reward type of stuff last year is there. I remember that stat from the that existed in the playoffs. I was able to just go dig it up on NFL Pro. So, you know, when we talk about, are we going to see a lot more man coverage and see teams take that boom or bust? Like, we're pretty sure we're not going to be the team that gives up the touchdown. That's going to be an interesting thing to follow this year. I will say, it feels like Debo's name came up quite a bit today. Yeah. And he's, I think it was Ben Standig, you know, tweeted out that like, hey, he's having at least one or two explosive plays every single practice. So good to see him going, but none of that matters without the protection side of it. The offensive line news note of the day is Nate Urbig retired. So they signed him in the offseason. We thought he might be in the mix at
it's
right
that time
guard.
Of year, man.
Yeah, you're coming off injury. You think you want to come back. You get out there and you're like, Dad, I think I'd rather do something else in my life. I've made 5 years worth of NFL money. Let's go on to the next phase. So that's a guy that's out. I saw some stuff. Chris Paul's like been rotating in with you know, even with the ones. So that's interesting, and a guy that you kind of slot into that place that maybe we thought Urbig would be in a rotation. But no matter who's out there, how are they doing from a protection standpoint? And is it like, not coming together if things are not going well? Is it not having the calls in yet? Like, what's the prognosis here?
Yeah, I just think it's the same. In this situation, I feel like it's kind of like the most extreme version of what we've been talking about is like they're bringing a lot of pressure, like a lot of pressure, kind of exotic pressures, great disguises, you know, double A gap mug. We got, you know, four man overloads. We've got all these different things. And then on top of that, there's some players kind of working through some difficult one-on-one matchups. And so you get pressure from that. But I do think like one of the things is like you're watching 2 minute, for example, and they run some type of double A and there's a great disguise. You're like, oh, this is double A. Oh, it's Tampa 2. Oh, it's double A. Oh, no, it's a fire zone week. Like Cade Medrano today had a great interception where he's kind of up on the line of scrimmage. Looks like he's going to blitz. If any of you have watched his Nebraska film highlights, for example, his interception in that game where he's in the line of scrimmage, kind of bounces out, picks the ball off, and does a great job of disguising it. So, like, it just when you're watching it, like they're doing a good job of being kind of what I would say Dan Quinn's defense was when he was in Dallas, where it's like we're creating quick pressures, quick wins, sometimes rushing with four because the disguise works, or finding overloads or stunts or whatever. Most times rushing with five and really putting the offensive line in a tough situation where you're challenging rules a lot, you know. And I think about talking about Cliff, like one of the things he did a great job of last year was coming up with great, consistent protection plans. He's not going to do that now, right? So you're running this kind of versus your basic five-man protection, your basic six-man protection. Like, I know how to beat that if I'm Joe Witt Jr. And I might not even be trying. I'm just installed pressures that are good. And so, again, you're getting quick pressures. The quarterback's having to make quick decisions. And the coverage in the back end, man, like when you just sit back and watch the coverage, like whether it's cover two, whether it's man, whether it's some type of match coverage, like they do such a good job of like just taking the air out, right? There's not a lot of throwing space, right? They're playing physical. They're disrupting at the line of scrimmage. It's everything that I think, you know, I was hoping for last year. You're starting to see shades of that now. So the protection is struggling, but I think it's also a testament to how well the defense is playing.
Yeah, which is definitely going to be interesting because I think Commanders fans are scarred from past years of, oh, the defense is playing really well. And it's like, actually, some of those Rivera years, both sides of the ball just actually weren't that good. So I think there's probably a little bit of scare of like, oh, is our offense regressed? But I think that the amount of change on offense, no Terry for now, Tunsil and all the shifts across the offensive line, like that takes a while to coalesce versus a defense where, yeah, you've got some new pieces for sure, but you also have a guy like Bobby in the middle, and just defense is simpler than offense. And so it's able to coalesce faster. And also, like, these guys were all pretty much there outside of Lattimore, and even Lattimore was there some in the spring. So like they were able to get their stuff together in the spring versus Tunsil basically didn't do any teamwork in the spring. You had a bunch of other guys that were in and out of the spring. And so I think that's going to be interesting to watch them continue to come together. One last guy that I want to mention real quick, or one last thing on offense real quick. Running backs, you finally get a chance to see them because the pads are on. And it feels like Kroski, like how much of the Bill is having an awesome camp stuff is fans and media getting over their skis about a running back in camp because every run looks like a touchdown versus like, is that kid actually like showing some real pop as a seventh rounder?
I mean, I think there's a little bit of that. You know, there's always a little bit of that. Like I was talking to B. Mitch today. He's like, I really like Bill. You know, I like him as a player. I like what he's doing. I like his vision. I like his burst through the hole, like how he accelerates, like how hard he runs, like how he finishes. Like there's a lot of stuff to like, but I mean, you've covered the team long enough. Like you understand that like those late round backs, like they'll flash a little bit in these settings, but like,
are they also messing up pass pro?
Yeah, they're messing up. Like, and again, I don't think he's messing anything up, but it's just like, it's different when you put the pads on in your preseason game. You know what I mean? Like it's different. And so I think I'm excited to watch him in a preseason game. Like he's a guy that I've definitely like circled and been like, I want to see what you look like and see how you play, because you've got all of these things that kind of seem to match and marry with your college film. So that's really exciting. And so like there are people like, for example, like Strachan, the receiver number 84, like I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. He's made some plays, missed some plays. Like he had a really awesome contested catch in like an end of game 2 minute scenario where they just kind of threw up a fade to him and he just high pointed it above everybody and made a play. So did Jalen Lane. So everyone's kind of flashed. Jacoby Brooks is another guy that's flat.
Yeah.
Right. They've all kind of had their moments, but to be a good pro, it's the consistent long-term play, right? So what does that look like moving forward? And for Bill, because you asked about him specifically, like I want to see him with pads on versus a team that's tackling him to the ground, because they don't tackle to the ground anymore, because that's part of keeping guys safe during training camp. So when that happens, I'll give you how I actually feel about him. But right now, yes, good vision, good burst, good finish. Love all that stuff. It's just, I want to see the real deal.
I feel like the maximum amount of excitement for a running back is what you have. Yeah. I want to see him. I can't wait to see him.
Right.
Not he's amazing and they already have a steal because we're 6 days into training camp and he hasn't run against a real defense yet. And that's how running backs work in training camp. So not trying to put a wet blanket on anything, unless you're like thinking that they drafted a Hall of Famer in the seventh round already and you know because you don't. But I am definitely excited to see him in the preseason. All right, let's talk about this defense here to wrap up on Take Command.